Okay, let's see. We're on page 141, now the second paragraph. For the harm, which extends beyond 1798, and to the second coming of Yeshua, corresponding with the iron legs, feet, and toes of the great image in Daniel 2. Of the iron, we read, it shall be broken without hand. Daniel 8:25. For the same terms of the speech are used of the feet and toes of the great image in Daniel 2:45. In the days of these kings, Daniel says, shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44. Therefore, the present civilization is the product of the goat or the kingdom of the breath. Had inspiration said the kingdom of iron shall bear rule over all the earth, it would have marred the picture. For the gold, silver, and brass, Old Testament time, stands on the legs of the iron. New Testament time. Thus the symbol proves that the Old Testament period stands on the Christian dispensation, Yahshua, and the New Testament period feet on the Old Testament dispensation. For the trunk of the great image depicting a living being containing all the living organs corresponds to the Bible, for the Old Testament is the great storehouse of the Word of Yahweh, and the new feeds from the old. In the Old Testament, the Yahshua gathered the Word of Yahweh into the Bible to feed the world in the new dispensation. For the New Testament is a fulfillment of the old. Yahweh's Word spells perfection in every way. For the Sabbath, trodden only once, we again call your attention unto the woman, Church of the Revelation 12, where we are told she was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Revelation 12:14-6. As the wings of the iron, of the lion, Babylon, and the four-headed leopard, Grecian, four divisions, Daniel 7:4-6, represents periods of the world history. See pages 33-42. So the wings of the woman also must denote two great periods of the church history, for the eagle being the king of the birds, his wings must stand for the chief head or first. Therefore, each wing must be a symbol of one of these two great periods from the very beginning. Had not inspiration emphasized the fact that the wings were of a great eagle, we could possibly conclude that one of them may stand for the Old Testament period and the other for the apostolic area of the New Testament. But the word great does not allow much such conclusion. Thus, one of the wings must apprehend the church history from the creation until the crucifixion of the Yahshua, and the other from the resurrection unto the end of this present world. Here, too, it would be possible for us to conclude that, one, the wing may stand for the period before the Bible came, and the other for the biblical period after the Exodus. But the words of the Revelator overrule that thought, for he says, "And unto the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent." Revelation 12:14. Therefore she was given the wings to fly into the wilderness in the New Testament time, where the symbol revealed that Yahweh has had only one church truth in all ages, and that the cross of Yahshua is the only center of attraction. For the lesson teaches that the church of Yahweh fled into the wilderness only once in her entire history, and that was from 538 to 1798 A.D. During this time, the Sabbath and the sanctuary trees were cast down to the ground, nor underfoot. Therefore, the continuity of these truths have never before the year 538 been interpreted by the church leadership. Although these divine truths may not always have been respected by the members or leaders in the church, they were there for these who wanted them. Thus Yahweh's eternal truth could have been kept by his people openly in all ages, save the period under or within the papal rule of the 1260 years. Again, note that the truth was cast down, and the woman, this is the purified church, had fled into the wilderness. For the inspiration says she hath a place prepared of the Yahweh, that they should feed her there. See Revelation 12:6-14. So while the truth was cast down by the church leadership in that period, and the abomination set up, Yahweh has come in of surety, who kept his Sabbath and had knowledge of the sanctuary truth through the entire 1260 years of the wilderness journey. Thus she was nourished, fed, revealing that she was to return double worship in all ages. That's our next subtitle. By the observing of the chart, the history of the Sabbath and Sunday observance, all true and false worship will be noticed. In the beginning, Yahshua created Adam and Eve and placed the holy couple in the garden of the Yahweh. But our first parents transgressed the counsel of the Most High, and sin entered the Eden home in order for the preserving of his original plan for the human family. He was compelled to remove our parents from their Edenic abode. Unto them were born sons and daughters. See Genesis 5:4. For their first two sons are brought to our attention by the scriptures in a contrast that is most striking, and one that should be carefully considered by every professor of the religion, for the sacrifice and religious worship of the two firstborn and the human. A family revealed that the Savior of the world had made known of the divine plan of the salvation. Unto the family of Adam, their system of the worship being devised by the Creator himself was perfect and able to save the sinner from his sin. For the able, careful religious observance according unto the instruction of the deity whom he worshiped shows that only such worship, honor, and praise can be acceptable to Yahweh. For the Cain was not mindful of the commandment, and thus by the presenting that which Yahweh had not required, went about to establish a religion of his own, as he immediately afterward slew his brother. It should be an object lesson unto all that a worship according unto the inclination of man, however good and innocent it may seem, cannot sanctify and save the worshiper, but instead it takes him deeper into sin and final ruin. Those who are inclined to persecute the ones who do not worship as they do are bowing down with the Cain at the altar made of the bricks. Such altars are the product of the man by the converting of the form of the original, and though more attractive than the altar of the stone may seem, there is no sanctifying power in them, and their worship is as deadly as poison. For the evidence cannot be denied that both forms of the worship, true and false, were introduced at about the same time and ran side by side. Both seemed innocent and were conducted about the same way, with the distinction that the one is in the harmony with Yahweh's book and law, and the other is not. For the two tracks on the chart by the side of Abel represents Yahweh's eternal truth, Sabbath, and sanctuary. For the Sabbath originated in the garden of the Yahweh, and on the seventh day Yahweh ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And Yahweh blessed him the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yahweh created and made. Genesis 2:2-3. Because of sin, the sanctuary truth was added after the fall of Adam. Both truths are of vital importance. For the Sabbath we keep to avoid sinning, but the sanctuary truth is to save us after we have sinned. For the one is to keep us from falling, and the other is a remedy if we fail. If after receiving of the knowledge of the truth we break the Sabbath, we have sinned and denied the Creator, which is far worse than the sin of Adam. By the non-compliance with the sanctuary truth, we refuse the plan or remedy and reject the Savior of our salvation. Read the Desire of Ages, page 165. The Sabbath is a part of the Ten Commandments. Law. It says, Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17. For the sanctuary truth is with the law of our salvation. That's through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua in Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. That is through the veil. That is to say, in His blood, through His blood, after we have sinned. Adam sinned by eating the forbidden fruit. Lucifer sinned by setting himself up as a god. Said he, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the Yahweh. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14:13-14. By the eating of the forbidden fruit, Adam broke the health food law. And by so doing, he also indirectly broke the Ten Commandment law. For by transgressing Yahweh's word, he dishonored him as a son would dishonor his earthly father by the disobedience, and thereby breaking the fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12. Therefore, Adam is guilty of the violating of the two laws, while Lucifer broke only one, the Ten Commandment law. For he ate nothing that Yahweh had forbidden. Adam's transgression brought him to the grave dust. For after eating of the forbidden fruit, it reached on, it reacted on his physical being, and thus the evil passed from father to son. But as Lucifer had not transgressed the law of the health, natural death had no power over him. Adam, by the obedience to the provision made for his redemption, accepted the remedy that he made, that shall be made alive by the resurrection. To Lucifer, for the rejecting of the same privilege and deceiving the human family, Yahweh said, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Isaiah 14:15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Ezekiel 28:15-16, 18-19. There is a lesson here that is worth our consideration. Let the sinner place his finger on his sin. By the disobeying of Yahweh's word in any form, you are breaking one or more of his eternal law. This is your final opportunity to either accept or reject salvation. And I'll add my part, salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Mercy is knocking at the door for the last time. Will your brother, will you sister, give your heart unto the Yahweh? For the reader's attention is again called to the chart for the double track passing by Abel and around the cross shows that the Sabbath and the sanctuary truths are eternal and divine, and that the recognition of their sacredness had never been thrown out from the Church of Yahweh until after 508 A.D., at which time the goat with the great horn cast down the truth to the ground. But in the year 1844, Yahweh's truth by the power of the three angels' messages was again brought to light. It is evident that the Sabbath and the sanctuary... Well, this is terrible. The Sabbath is part of the sanctuary system altogether. The seventh-day Sabbath is the first part. It is evident that the Sabbath, all the Sabbaths in the sanctuary system are to be observed at their appointed times throughout the calendar year of the Jewish people. So it says, for the law and the gospel are inseparable. If you have been disobedient to Yahweh's word in any form, will you now at the last call say, Yahshua, here I am, take my stony heart and give me a heart of flesh? Will you plead that he write his law in your heart? For the angel is waiting to seal you with the seal of Yahweh. Will you choose darkness rather than light, as the angel is lighting the earth with his glory? Will you let him lighten your heart? Yet a little while and Yahweh's truth shall triumph. Why should you remain behind? Will you stubbornly worship like Cain with a religion that cannot save? Will you dishonor the Savior who died for you and honor the adversary and enemy of your soul? Why should you perish in just a little while in the dark millennium? Follow the chart. Will you be ready when the Yahshua comes to take his saints to the mansions above? Take notice that the keeping of the truth is the train to the city of Yahweh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear the Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. That's actually Ecclesiastes 12, 13. For the 1290 and 1335 days, years, relative unto the daily, that is practiced twice a day, every day, of the sanctuary truth, of the Daniel 12, 11, and 12, are now understood for the first time, this being the time in which they are revealed. It is evident that we are dealing with the present truth. Therefore, the Scriptures must be speaking directly unto us at this very time. Thus, both the cursings and the blessings of the chapter apply unto this generation, and we are granted the privilege of choosing either the one or the other. It is necessary that we comment first on the 10th verse of the Daniel a 12, for it brings out the fact that at the time this scripture is revealed, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Therefore, it is necessary that we repent from all sin and separate ourselves from every false way, thus having our vision clear, so that we can understand. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. For the name Michael means who is like the Yahweh. For Yahshua is the express image of the Father and the great prince of his people. Thus the title signifies Yahshua. At the time Yahshua, Michael shall stand up for his people, and everyone shall be delivered who is found written in the book. Thus Yahweh's people need not fear in the time of the trouble. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:2. It will be noticed that the resurrection foretold in this scripture is mixed. Some are of the righteous, while others are of the wicked. Therefore, this is a special resurrection and independent of the one referred to in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For it plainly says, the Yeshua himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Yahweh, and the dead in the Yeshua shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Yeshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yeshua. For the John also makes it clear that the righteous only are called forth at the coming of the Yeshua. For he says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Revelation 20:6. Consequently, the mixed resurrection must precede the one at the coming of the Yeshua in the clouds. Those who awake to everlasting content must be those who pierce Yeshua, thus fulfilling the following scripture: behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Revelation 1:7. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. They who are wise are the ones who shall understand, and they shall turn many unto righteousness. Thus they shall shine as the stars forever and ever. These are not those who were resurrected in the special resurrection, for it would be after the close of probation, and about the end of the seventh plague. Well, there's a lot of correction to be made there. I don't believe that that's the way it's going to be. I think this is all going to take place just before probation closes, just shortly before the coming of the Yeshua. Well, that certainly takes place before probation closes. Thus, the resurrected ones would have no chance to turn any unto righteousness. Therefore, those who shall shine as the stars are the 144,000, and all who shall have a part in the closing work of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua for the Jews and the Gentiles in these last days of Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. Think of the glorious promise. Is there anything like it in all the world? What can you compare with the celestial bliss and the presence of Yahweh? Life everlasting without pain or tears. See Revelation 7:17 and Isaiah 11:6-7, 65 and 25. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:4. What plainer evidence should we ask to convince us that this is the time of the end? Has knowledge been increased? Are many running to and fro? While Daniel does not tell how the running is accomplished, Nahum does. For the church shall be with the flaming torches in the day of his preparation. For the church automobiles shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightning. Nahum 2, 3, and 4. For the prophecy being understood, it is evident that the book is unsealed and that the time of the end is upon us. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be unto the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in the linen, which was upon waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time and times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12:5-7. For the question was asked, how long shall it be until the end of these wonders? For the answer is, that it shall be for a time, 1 year, times 2 years, and a half time, half year, 30 days to a month, having months to a year, 12 months to a year, equals 1260 prophetic days or years. For the prophetic period points back unto the papal supremacy and the persecution of Yahweh's people from 538 to 1798 A.D., see Daniel 7:25, and Revelation 12:6-14, Revelation 13:5. For the end of the long prophetic period in which the papacy scattered the power of the holy people is in the past by 130 years. For the angel declared in this time, all these things shall be finished. Does not all this prove that we are on the verge of the eternity? Will you, brother, will you, sister, adorn yourself with the righteousness of the Yahshua, or will you wait a little longer until after the harvest is past? Someone shall utter the following words in the great disappointment. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20, shall you or shall I? And I heard but understood not. Then I said, O my Yahweh, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Daniel 12:8-9. Are they closed now? If not, then is not this the time to which the prophet refers? Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh unto the 1,335 days. Daniel 12:12. This brings the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. I want to close now with a song.